Hey, welcome back to the Song Capture Podcast. My name is Chris Clayton. I'm your host, and welcome to the second half of season two. My family and I took some much needed extended time away, but we are back, and I'm so excited to get this half of season two rolling. Before we go any further, be sure and find us on Facebook and Instagram. That's facebook.com/mysongcapture. And then on Instagram, we're just at mysongcapture. I'd love for you to find us on there and say, hey. Also, if you're brand new to Song Capture, welcome. A little bit about us. We are a demo production website for songwriters who write worship songs. We love working with worship leaders, worship pastors, songwriters who write for their church or whatever the case may be. We've recently worked with some brand new people and we'd love to work with you. So head over to mysongcapture.com, check out what we do, use the promo code TAKE10, that's T-A-K-E number 10, to save 10% off your very first demo. On today's show, we have the one and only Paul Balazs. What an honor it was to sit down and talk with such an amazing voice of influence in the local church. Paul has written so many songs that we sing in the church today, and today we hear the song story behind his song, Your Name. More than that, Paul unloads an incredible amount of wisdom on us on this episode regarding songwriting and loving the church through our songs. Too much to recap on the intro, but let's just say he throws a challenge to us of trying not to write a worship song. I'll let you dig into the podcast to hear why. But let's get rolling. Here's my time with Paul Balazs.
Hey, Paul, thanks for being on the show today.
Hi, Chris. Good to see you.
Good to see you. You are in New York City, right?
Yes.
Man, how's it been in New York City these past few weeks?
You know, it's unusually quiet. It's pretty strange. You know, a couple weeks ago, you were hearing a lot of sirens. Of course, you hear sirens about every other hour of the day anyway, to be honest. That's kind of classic New York. But now we're just not hearing like honking horns, and you look out on the streets and there's just such little traffic. It's really pretty strange.
I'm sure it looks different, feels different. Yeah,
it really does. It really does. And of course it is for everybody, but New York is a unique, got hit pretty hard.
And, yeah.
We're in Manhattan, so we didn't feel it as much as people like in Queens or Bronx, and some places got hit harder than others,
sure.
You know?
So yeah.
Well, my next door neighbor in our little apartment complex is actually an ER doctor, a couple blocks away. And they never had any of those things that you saw on the news where, you know, running out of masks and just being overwhelmed.
Right.
A lot of that was mostly in certain hospitals. Yeah.
Sure. Awesome. Well, thanks for jumping on today. I appreciate you coming to do it. A lot I want to get to in our time, but you spent 25 years in Texas, so we have a little bit of a bond here with Texas. And so I had Cody Carnes on a few earlier on in the season, and we talked about Texas barbecue and good Tex-Mex. So you can relate.
Oh, man.
That you can't find that in New York. I can't find that here in Nashville, at least the quality of Texas. So
I know.
Yeah. So you were at 25 years of your church in Lindale, which people don't know where Lindale is. It's East Texas. Like, I grew up in Beaumont, lived in Dallas-Fort Worth. If you just jaunt down 20 a little bit, you're in Lindale, right?
Yep. Right near Tyler, Texas.
That's right. I love it. But well,
we loved it too. We loved it. We were in the same church, same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Same everything for 25, 26 years. And, man, we loved it. The only reason we moved because all three of our kids grew up and they migrated back to the Northeast, and that's where I'm originally from. Just grew up right outside of Philadelphia, and my wife is too. So, you know, our family, extended family, and our grown kids and all that. So, and now we actually have a couple grandkids. So
awesome.
How did that happen, man? I tell you, watch out.
Well, once a Texan, always a Texan. So you've got to pass back in anytime you
Thank
want.
Thank you. I love it. Yeah, we miss it. A lot of good friends there. And gosh, there's so many principles about that, you know, but from writing, I mean, I'm looking at your demo studio there, and I had a room about that big, maybe a little smaller, that was part of our church. That when I first moved there, we were living in a mobile home and living in a van down by the river. Every time I say mobile home.
I love it. That's funny.
We were there at Last Days Ministries and started the lead worship at the church. And the pastor said, well, we can't pay you much, but we'll clean out that room behind the platforms there. And you can make that into an office. Well, it was big enough. It was kind of a triangle. And the keyboard player and I went to a bank and we got out a loan. We took a loan for $5,000 to buy a 16-track Fostex reel-to-reel.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And there was no, this is way before Pro Tools and before ADAT, of course. And he had the software he was using, my keyboard guy, was called Opcode. And it was just the beginnings of MIDI. And so, man, we started to write. We tried to meet at the church two or three times a week. And this is way before there was a CCLI or anything like that, too. We were just, our goal was to write songs for our church, period.
Yeah.
And I always encourage anybody that's writing even now, a lot of writers that are part of churches now, like, hey, start there. Like, let that be your motivation to write songs for the people that you worship with every week. You know, don't try to hit some moving target, some bullseye, some Bethel sound copycat.
Yeah.
Like have the courage to like dig down deep and prayerfully think about, you know, what has your pastor been teaching on the last couple of weeks? Is there a series coming up in the next month or two? And ask him or her for like themes and key scriptures, and then try to write some songs for that series. You know, these are the things that we did back in the day. And then we would, you know, demo them up on our 16-track Fostex. And we continued to do that. And then ADATs came along and we upgraded to ADATs and we did hundreds of songs and demos. So we did that for about a year and a half. And then a guy from Integrity Music, I think this is relevant because this is song capture.
Good.
So I'm kind of sharing this on purpose for
good.
Any young writers out there, old writers, young or old, wherever you're at, but it might encourage you that, you know, not everybody moves to Nashville and gets a record deal or blah, blah, blah. So we were just at our church and just trying to write songs for our church and having a lot of prayer meetings, like prayer and worship Friday nights, where there'd be this combination where you'd lead a couple songs and then people would pray, usually from the word. It was really a cool way to pray where you come up, read a scripture, and then kind of riff off of that scripture, if you will. And that way you're not, you know, just kind of making it up, but it's like biblically based prayers. But from that, him and I would often get up after the prayer, you know, after the prayer time to close, and we'd sort of have maybe a song idea that we heard somebody pray a couple things, and we would write down some of these things. We'd kind of almost write like a little simple chorus on the spot, simple enough that we could like close the meeting with that sort of a, but anyway, we would write and then try to demo a couple songs a week if possible. And we would co-write, which we could get into if you want. But eventually a guy from Integrity Music, Marty Nystrom, who actually wrote the song As the Deer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Marty was the song guy, if you will, but he was also a teacher on worship. He went to CFNI years ago. And he was there visiting Last Days Ministries in YWAM doing some classes on worship. Came to our church on Sunday morning. I played a 5-song set. One of those songs was a song Ed and I wrote, Ed Carr, K-E-R-R. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he came up afterwards. Hey, was that an original? Hey, you got a copy of that? You think I could? Yeah, sure. So we were all excited. We thought, oh man, this is great. Well, we never heard from him for like 6 months. And 6 months later, he contacted us. Hey, so that song, do you guys have any more songs? Just curious. Like, I like that one, but do you have any more? And we were like, well, actually, yeah, we had about like 40 songs demoed, which we thought was quite a lot. And that was fun to send those in. And then within a couple months, they had one. They used to record a worship leader every 2 months, like live worship, Integrity Hosanna music. And anyhow, my computer's hot here. Just got a message saying. I'll try to wrap this up. So yes, one of their guys, it got canceled. So they called and said, listen, would you be interested in doing a live worship thing in about 3 weeks in Dallas? So I was like, I guess so. Of course, I was scared out of my mind. I was completely scared. I mean, that was intimidating. I was used to being mostly other people's guitar player. I was just starting to lead worship for a couple of years in our little church. So it was still kind of new, but man, a lot of the people that I had played guitar for rallied behind me, like Lenny LeBlanc, Kelly Willard, mm-hmm. my wife Rita, this guy Ed Carr, who was in a band called Harvest for many years. And anyway, blah, 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 Chris. I guess, like I said, I'm sharing all that to kind of paint a picture for writers that not everybody, yeah, I've never moved to Nashville. I had a ton of friends that did, but we always loved our little church, and we would go to Nashville and either write or work on a project or do some things, but then we always felt like it was good to go home to East Texas. And
yeah.
I always thought that it might crush my spirit. I can be, I don't know. I can get into an unhealthy place emotionally if there's this competition thing going on, and this person and that guy, and he got a cut and I didn't. It's like, wow, I don't know if I could survive that. That's pretty,
yeah.
That's a pretty different, you know, we could talk about that, but all I know is it was healthy for me to just go back to my little church where there weren't that many other people writing songs or, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Just plumbers and electricians and carpenters and a lot of ministry people. And anyway.
Yeah, it's like it's the everyday people. They don't care about, I say they don't care. They don't care about your position as a songwriter. They just know that you're just your friend, you know,
exactly.
And you're your worship pastor, and that you're
exactly.
writing and to love on them. So
exactly.
that keeps every songwriter grounded at the end of the day, you know, that
absolutely.
These are your people that you just shepherd every week. And
yeah, absolutely.
Talk about, and there's a lot in that, which you've just kind of talked about that I'd love to unpack, and we'll get to it. But I love to start. Is there a Paul Baloche songwriting process? And if so, what does it look like, and how has it maybe evolved over the years in you know, in various forms?
Okay, well, a quick shameless plug.
Yeah.
Completely free, but we just uploaded during this quarantine. I uploaded my songwriting masterclass, if you will.
Nice. Love it.
Broken up into 10 modules, and it was shot around New York City and all that, but it's on our YouTube channel. So just YouTube, Lead Worship. So go to YouTube and just put in Lead Worship. Boom, there it is. Scroll down a little bit and boom, you'll see leading worship and then songwriting. And anybody listening can just go there and for free, just go through the modules, maybe go through them with a friend and compare notes. But the reason I say that is because when you ask me what's my process, it's like, well, that's about a 2.5 hour.
Yeah,
like
sure.
If I had 2.5 hours with you, I would unpack it. But I can try to greatly crystallize and reduce that sure. into what is the process? I would say number one, the process for me has always been just having my antenna up, having, you know, or I guess another scenario would be never put the phone of your heart on airplane mode.
It's good.
Like always keep it on. Make sure your modem is on. The modem of your heart. Turn on the modem of my heart.
I knew you were going there.
Sorry, that shamelessly
went. I love it. I love it.
So yeah, just keep that on and like get in the habit of being an active listener. So when you're sitting in church listening to a sermon, I say passively, not critically. I'm not saying that critically, but they're sort of listening and they're probably taking notes. But you, as a songwriter, if you're interested in writing songs, listen with the active mind and active ear for a hook, for a first line to a song, for a concept, for a possible title. And man, I always tried to get something from our pastor's sermons, song related, if you will. I mean, of course, I'm trying to do it just for my own spiritual growth.
Sure.
But I always found that I paid more attention if I was in a prayer meeting, if I'm reading a book, if I'm listening to a sermon on, I almost said cassette. Back in the day when I listened to teachings on cassette. And I've actually done that with Graham Kendrick. We sat down, we'd listen to a teaching tape, and then we wrote a song based on that teaching. That was years ago, called Creation's King. But that was a fun exercise. I've done that several times. So if you're ever stuck for ideas, songwriters, find a good teacher, go online, listen to a podcast of one of your favorite teachers. Mm-hmm. and they just write down, man, you think about it. These teachers and pastors have spent hours in the Word just mining the sermon, right? And then that's it. Then they move on. Well, there's got to be some gold in there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I found some gold in some of those sermons and prayers, either when I was praying. Sometimes as a worship leader, you're just unconsciously, you know, you're not trying to write a song. You're just like, good morning, church, let's stand together. And man, I don't know what kind of week you've had, but let's, before we get started this morning, why don't we just take a moment and pray? And the Bible says we can cast our cares upon the Lord. So let's do that. Lord, we cast our cares aside. We put our doubts behind. We set our hearts and minds on you, Jesus. And like just when that phrase, that whole thing came out of my mouth, there was a little red light in my brain that went beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
And we used to tape our all of our services. So I would get the MP3 or used to be the cassette from our sound guy. And excuse me. And I would fast forward to the parts, you know, where I felt like I remember there was an opening prayer, or I remember between song number 2 and 3, I kind of prayed something. It felt like it had something on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went back and, you know, casting my cares aside, casting my cares aside, leaving my doubts behind, setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus.
Good. Wow.
But,
yeah.
You know, many months later, I found I had this chorus idea going, we need a new, this is the day. So today is the day you have made. So kind of had those ideas and got with Lincoln Brewster around that time and said, bro, let's work on this and finish the song.
Wow.
So anyway, that's just one of many. I'm trying to throw that out there as a for example.
Yeah, that's great.
So sermons, prayers that come out of your mouth, prayers that come out of the mouths of others. So go hang out in prayer meetings. I mean, it sounds crazy. Or like, number one, it's really good. Like, get around people that are like, man, they just have something on them when they pray. You know, they're just like, yes, Lord. And we just, God, we just pray. We just, Lord, we cry out to you. And I would just sit in the back with my legal pad. My eyes were closed and I'm praying and nodding my head. But it's not unspiritual to open your eyes and write down some of these things that you're hearing. And that's what the Old Testament scribes did, man. When Moses was prophesying, somebody had to like, hey, quick, get me my chisel, quick.
Yes. Great.
I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider. What did he say? Fall into the sea. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's a little bit of a theme rising up this season, and it's been that if you're going to call yourself a songwriter, you got to think, act like a songwriter, and react like a songwriter, and be attentive like a songwriter. So amazing how, of course, the Spirit just pushed that in this season. I just think that's a great thing for songwriters. You have to adhere to the environment around you and listen to what your people are saying. Again, like you said earlier in the podcast, you know, you're writing specifically for your people, you know, and so if you don't know what you're, you know, you got to write songs of the prayers of your people and the conversations of your people and the hurts of your people. So you know how to encourage your people. So I love that. That's so spot on. I love that.
And it takes pressure off too. Like it helps you to focus and takes pressure off to write the next big international global anthem.
Oh,
like I think we beat ourselves up as songwriters.
Yeah.
That every time we, you know, pick up our instrument, we even like say out loud that I'm going to try to write a song. Immediately, all these voices of doubt and pressure, man. And we have to let that go. And I found one way to do that. I'll just throw this out as a tip. I would say for the next 3 months, don't try to write a song.
That's good.
Just say to yourself or say to the devil or say to your unconscious, your subconscious, I'm not trying to write a song. I'm going to write some prayers. I'm going to sing some of my prayers and I'm going to sing some of the Word of God. And I'm going to sing some of my journal ideas.
Yeah.
So somehow putting it in that context helped me psychologically from freaking out. Like it had to be amazing. I just said, you know what? I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm just going to sing some of my prayers, just some simple prayer ideas that I've jotted down here. I'm not trying to write some big song here. This is not. And like you do that enough, that just has helped me a lot. Just I'll go into any writing situation even now and I'll just immediately let myself off the hook as I'm walking in going, mm-hmm. Paul, you don't have to write a big song today.
Yeah.
It's really okay. Just write a sincere prayer to the Lord, something that would just help others worship.
That's awesome. Well, let me
really my, sorry, that's a filter you can steal from me.
That's great.
Something that would, quote, help others worship, unquote.
That's great. I want to tag on that because I wanted to ask you, and I was reading, something you wrote recently, and I'd love for you to talk about the importance of being fueled as a songwriter. You're kind of hinting on that already, but in particular, you said, if I'm going to lead with integrity, I have to carve out time to be alone with God and worship Him privately, and I want my public leading to come from a private place. And I think the same thing can be said about songwriting, and I know that even with this new record, Behold Him, there was that season, I remember I read about this elevator room that you said you went to. Uh-huh. I'd love to know, you kind of hinted this idea, you were just going up there just to spend time with God, but then all of a sudden these songs kind of poured out of it. But how important is it for us as songwriters and to constantly be fueled on a routinely basis, if to put it in another way, but just the idea of you can't keep, feeding off of the past stuff. You got to keep fueling yourself as a songwriter. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like we ate last week and that was good enough.
Right.
I ate 3 weeks ago, so I'm probably good. No, you're not. You probably should eat today. And you probably think about eating tomorrow, unless, you want to go a day or two without eating. So I think we have to ingest ideas. We have to ingest inspiration. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. Everybody's wired different. So get to know how you're wired. Respect how you're wired. You'll never be like that guy or that gal. Sometimes we can compare ourselves to others, and that's always defeating and always discouraging. So I would say, just kind of pay attention, back up for a minute, and what are the things that have inspired you over the last year or two or three, you personally? Is it getting up at, putting your sneakers on and going for a run? Is it with worship music or without worship music? Is it spending time quiet? A lot of times people say, let's go up to the mountains where there's a nice view, or we'll go to the ocean where we'll get inspired. And I've done all those things and they're fine. They can work. But you know what else? What else really works for me is going where there's nothing inspiring.
Yeah.
Where literally in New York, my walk-in closet is one of the places where, I go there, I shut the door, and I'm just surrounded by clothes, and there's no windows, there's nothing to look at. And it sort of forces me to just go inside,
mm-hmm.
Instead of like, oh, wow, look at the mountains. And then every song you write is like, from the mountains.
It's just so true, though. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just throwing that out in terms of simply kind of amen to what you said of, similar to leading worship, you've got to find that quiet place and undistracted place. Maybe it means not bringing your phone into that place with you. If you have a lot of notifications, turn those notifications off, man, or put it on airplane mode while you're working on songs. Give yourself an hour or two of completely uninterrupted time, which used to not be as hard as it is now. Now it's quite hard.
Yes.
I'm just as guilty. I'm so guilty. An hour goes by and everything in me wants to just, for some stupid reason, check Instagram or check and see if anybody texted me. Or it's like, man, before smartphones, you'd go hours without even thinking about a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say to my wife, hey, babe, love you in the morning, All right, so I'll see you. 5:30-ish, I'm going to shoot for that. And I'll be at the church. If you need anything, they'll give you a call there. And this is before cell phones.
It all changed, though.
And now it's like, gosh, we probably every hour, touching base. Hey, you doing okay? You all right? I guess, So all that to say, Lord, help us to focus. Help us to think deep thoughts. You can't think deep thoughts in 5-minute, 15-minute, 20-minute increments. It really requires just like that first 30 minutes maybe to just decompress and get undistracted. And then the next 30 minutes, you're just starting to go inside. And then the next 30 minutes, you're like starting to really connect with the Lord. And then now you're starting to get some ideas flowing and you're looking through your journal and getting excited. Now the 2 hours have passed and now you're finally getting somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can take that much time to really find a path to walk on.
It's true. You know, coming out of this, you know, fueling place, private place, eventually you have to let community into your place though of songwriting. And we talk about co-writing a little bit. You mentioned that. Is that something you've always done? Is that something that was always been a part of your journey as a songwriter? Or, you know, talk about the value of co-writing in your process.
Yes. I think it's always been probably 90% of the songs I've been a part of or co-writes. And then there were some more back in the day, if you will, that were, for some reason I finished them up by myself. But most of the time it's a co-write, because the worst that can happen when you co-write is that you spend 3 to 4 hours with another person that you hopefully respect musically or spiritually, mm-hmm. or both. And you're thinking about the Lord, you're talking about the Lord, you're musically exchanging ideas. Like, that's the worst that can happen, is you walk out of there without a great song idea. But that's, it wasn't a waste of time. What an encouraging time that you just spent with this other human being, you know?
Yeah. I think that's good, because I think that relieves the pressure a little bit, because so many people go into this co-writing session, they're going, if we don't come out with a song, then we've missed the whole point of this whole time. And I think that relieves the pressure of going, at the end of the day, the song's the bonus. The relationships are more important than anything out of this.
I think you worded it really good. I think that's a great, I want to steal that from you, but if you make relationship first, if you go in there thinking, I'll drop a couple names, not because I'm trying to drop names, but just to give a couple of folks out there a sense of like, well, what's it like to walk into a room? I remember maybe 5 years ago, walking into a room of this guy and girl that were worship leaders at a church named Journey. Mm-hmm. And they were starting a band called All Sons and Daughters.
Yeah.
And Mike Murray set up this writing. And I remember, you know, being a little anxious. You're always a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous, like maybe a first date kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since my first date, but that feeling of like, oh, I don't know, what if I walk in and they're like really disappointed, or they feel like, man, what a waste of time that was. All these crazy thoughts enter your mind. And mind you, like, this is after I've done, you know, I'd done probably 10 albums and written several hundred songs that were recorded, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying. Yeah. And yet I'd walk in about to turn the handle to that room and being kind of nervous and like, I don't know, man, I don't know if I have anything. But I remember you sit down and then you shake hands or whatever, back in the day when we used to shake hands. And you say, hey, so what's going on? What's your family like? And what's your church like? And what do you get, da-da-da? You kind of get the story. That's maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know? And maybe you go up and get your coffee ready and you walk back and you're like, well, so I don't know if I don't know if you guys have an idea you're like excited about jumping into. I've got a few things we could start with. I don't know if I'm like crazy about any of them per se. You know, now if I am crazy about it, then I'll say, like, I got an idea that I'm kind of excited about, but it feels kind of simple. I always found myself saying, I don't know, this idea feels kind of simple. It may seem kind of too simple, but anyway, I remember that day, that particular day though, I said to David, hey, on the way over here, I was driving and I said the word behold, just that idea of behold, we behold. Like, I saw the sun coming up. It was early. It was like a 9:30 co-write. And I was out a little bit earlier to get some coffee at probably whatever that place is in Franklin.
Frothy Mickey.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's all I had. It was like, we behold, like the breaking dawn, the light that shines over everyone. And then so David Leonard goes over to the piano. And then you hear him sing that same thing, and it's like, wow, that sounds pretty good when he sings it. We behold the breaking dawn, the light that shines. It's like, wow, so much intensity. And then Leslie, you know, adds her thing. And man, after a couple hours, we had this whole song called Oh Our Lord. We got the chorus from Scripture, and they recorded a version, and I recorded a version of that song. So that's just one of many examples of co-writing where And I would say one of the, so co-writing, come in with a couple ideas that you don't have to have complete song, but at least a few ideas that you feel like you could fall back on if the other writers don't have anything.
Yeah, that's good.
The other thing is the word maybe. I like everybody say maybe. Maybe is your friend when you're co-writing.
Mm-hmm.
So they throw out an idea and you're like, maybe.
True though. Yeah.
And I, because if you say, nah, I'm not feeling that, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, nah, I'm not feeling that. You know, you've been in enough writing rooms, Chris, yeah, where just you can suck the oxygen out of a room. In fact, I did that. You, back in the day when I would write with Lincoln, I remember he kind of scolded me because he would just throw these music ideas at me. He's like, hey, Paul, what about something like, you know, all these, and he'd look at me like, what do you think? And I'd go, I mean, it's cool riff. It's cool. Yeah, or how about this one? Like crazy music ideas. And I'd go, well, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, and he's like, bro, you're bumming me out, man. I was like, well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get like think of a concept or like what direction do we go in? And it's like, my point is simply this, that now and for many years, like from writing with someone and we've got sort of a Google Doc going and we're looking for like third line of verse two, and they go, oh, what about ba da da ba da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, maybe initially in my brain, I'm like, I don't love that. But what comes out of my mouth is, maybe, yeah, let me write it. Let's just write it down. That's mm-hmm. that's cool. Let's put it there. And I'll use words like, well, let's just put it down as a placeholder.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll say, yeah, let's just put it there. That's good. Let's see if we can beat it. That's another sort of phrase when you're co-writing. It's like, okay, that's cool. That's good. Let's put it down. Maybe. Yeah, that's, or we could also, let's put this down. We could go, da 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 da. We could say that, and also maybe, right? So let's just put them both down for now, and let's see if we can beat it. Let's see, what else could we say there? So that's kind of what it feels like, looks like. I find the word maybe keeps it moving along. It doesn't shut down all the creative, positive energy in the room.
I've always heard it said, you know, it's favoring the other writer, you know, and seeing them as, you know, not just, Not just for their ideas, but for what they bring to the table. You may not, like you said, you may not line up with it right away, but at least you're giving their idea a shot and fleshing it out. So yeah, that's great. I love that. It's some practical stuff. I hope you guys are taking notes on this because this is practical gold here. So I do want to talk real quick about the new record, Behold Him, which is fantastic, by the way, Paul. A lot of great songs on this record. My favorite, it's the first track on there. It's, you know, What a Good God. I just love that you started the record with that. It's so leadable and singable by the first chorus. I love it. Mm. I know Behold Him has been a huge, made a huge impact in the church already. And there's How Faithful is another one of my favorites on the record. But what I noticed about this, and I'd love for you to talk about it, is on the record, you had a lot of collaborations on this record. So Kim Walker Smith and Leslie from All Sons and Daughters and Chris Brown from Elevation and Carrie Jobe, they were on there. It felt like that's a pretty good amount of collaborations. I kind of love to know maybe what the intention was behind that, kind of your heart behind that.
You know, my last couple records have been like a community collaboration concept. There's some alliteration right there. Community collaboration concept. You know, I guess I've been around long enough that you start to make friends with a lot of different people. And as time goes on and as I continue to get older, I don't want to get stuck in a rut. It's easy for us to kind of get in our grooves and just always go a certain way. And I find that reaching out to other writers, different generations, there was a couple writers on here that I'd never written with before. Chris Brown being one, Chris and Stephen Furtick.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote a song and then Chris sang on that. And then a guy named Mitch Wong, who, this is funny that it's the title cut of the project. We wrote it over Skype. I have never met him in person.
Oh, wow. He's a gem. I love Mitch. He's a great, great guy.
Yeah. He is. So he was in Australia at the time and here, you know, a couple Skype sessions back and forth, kind of like what we're doing here on Zoom. So, so you can write songs online. There's a song with Benji Cowart on there that we wrote online. the last song called In a Million Years, or A Million Years. In a million years, will we see it then? Was the suffering and pain part of your plan? Mm. Will we finally see what we now believe, that you were making beauty out of everything?
Wow.
And we will still be singing, hallelujah. We will see you face to face anyway.
That's great.
So yeah, bottom line is I love community. I feel like I'm too insecure to do like a Paul Balazs record by myself. Like I'm very aware that I need friends around me. I need talented people by my side. I always have and always will need brothers and sisters that I respect musically. I want to be pushed and challenged, and I want my idea, like, here's my idea, and they take it and turn it upside down and take it over here, and it's like, wow, thank you. I didn't even think about going in that direction.
Yeah.
So that's why there's so many people in there. I think community is really, really, really important. Like I said, we were at that church, you said, 25 years. I missed that dynamic of being at the same church week in, week out, same people. So now I have to like conjure it up in my mind. I mean, I lead it in New York, mm-hmm. a couple different churches, and we belong to a church, but it's not the same. I'm not on staff. So
that's good.
Anyway,
that's good.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'd love, before we close out, Paul, you've given us, you know, been a part of writing so many great songs for the church, and we could sit here and tell stories for days, which if I had time, I'd do it. But I'd love to talk about your name, not your name, Paul, but the song, Your Name, that you wrote. It's made a huge impact in my life, and I know a lot of worship leaders and that are probably listening to this. And so I'd love to hear the song story behind it, just how that song began to unfold. I know you wrote that with Glenn, and you know, there's just love to hear the journey behind that song.
Yeah. Well, that's another example. It's a co-write. I led worship at New Life Church that weekend and had to fly out that Monday afternoon and said to Glenn, hey, you want to just get together tomorrow morning and kind of just see if we get a song from our time together. Let's just meet. So we met actually in the nursery of the church. And I remember that because it was a Monday morning and they had not emptied the diaper pails. And it was so crazy that of all places, that's it. That's where he took us to write. It's like, hello. And so we were teasing. He's like, bro, it smells terrible in here. But it's where there was an electric keyboard set up. And so I was just noodling in B flat, noodling, just kind of getting there. And I said, let's just read scripture out loud. It's something I like to do a lot. If you don't walk in with an idea, it's like, let's just start reading a scripture. Something about reading it out loud as opposed to just reading it quietly. Mm-hmm. But out loud. So as he's reading Psalm 68 and da-da-da, and you get down further in the psalm, it says, as morning dawns and evening fades, you bring forth songs of praise, blah, blah, blah. I was like, whoa. Hey, Glenn, go back. Can you read that thing again? As morning dawns, evening fades, you bring forth songs of praise. So I'm in B flat. Doesn't that sound like the beginning of a song? Like, as morning dawns and evening fades. So one of the things I teach in songwriting sometimes is take a psalm, just do a one note, just sing that psalm with a one note. Da 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 da. Take any psalm, just to begin to get some melody going, some emotion and melody going with the scripture. So really, it was just doing. I sort of used to teach, like, hey, if you're stuck for an idea, just reach for those, as morning dawns and same note, you bring forth songs of praise, later to be changed to you inspire,
mm-hmm.
as bring forth, right? And that doesn't feel great in the mouth.
Right.
But what's another way to say that? You bring forth, you raise up, you inspire songs of praise. Da 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 da. Notice I don't have any words here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a principle I'll throw out. Like, just because you run out of words, don't stop the forward momentum. Mm-hmm. Try to feel where the song wants to go. Just feel your way melodically, like imagine Sunday morning. Da 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 da. Da, 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 Lord, we love your name. I do remember like ending that little da, da, da with your name. Mm. And then like, and then you could just kind of hear it, just wanted to go like, your name. And then, your name is a, oh yeah, Proverbs 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous, that your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a refuge, is a shelter, is a fortress like no other. You know, you're just throwing, yeah. You're feeling your way through. And so that's kind of what it was like, just sort of trying to sing out, feel it, picturing Sunday morning, picturing church. Yeah, I always, at some point in a song, I'm imagining what it's going to feel like in front of my church.
That's good.
That always is a good filter when a song is starting to take shape. So that song probably rolled out in about 30 minutes, you know, then second verse, it was like, your name, let's see, it just seemed like a prayer. Jesus, Jesus, in your name we pray. God, Jesus, Jesus, in your name we pray. You know, thinking about all the prayer meetings that we've been in, like this, God, just come, Lord, come and fill our hearts today. God, come and send your spirit, Lord. Come and fill our hearts, and Lord, give us strength to live for you, you know.
Yeah.
I would say most of it, 90% of it, we went over a friend of ours, Don Harris, a mutual friend of ours. We drove over to his place 10 minutes away because he had a little studio set up and said, hey, can we, you got a couple of minutes? Do you mind? Can we lay down like just a piano work, like a work tape? And he was gracious, like, yeah, just turn everything on, click, 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 boom, 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 turned it all on. And had a keyboard there, and we just laid down that work tape. And wow. Might have made a few minor word replacements, but anyway. Yeah,
that's great. I love the idea of keeping the frame of your audience in front of you, of the people that you're leading and pushing through. How would this feel on a Sunday morning? Mm-hmm. It's so easy for songwriters like us to just get into this mold of how it feels in the room we're in, when really these songs exist for the purpose of the congregational gathering, and how are people going to sing this, and how are they going to respond to it? And it's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on this today. This has been an honor to chat with you, and hopefully we can get some FaceTime when you're in Nashville next time, and just love to hang out, and I love your heart. And more than anything, as I often say, thank you for your obedience, for just writing for the church and writing songs that people can carry, not just on Sunday, but they can carry out through their week and be encouraged and used to lift up the Lord throughout the week. So thanks for being on.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Thank you, bro.
You know, I know I say this often, but you will need to re-listen to this episode a few times to catch all the wisdom. I want to say thanks to Paul and his amazing team for carving out some time to talk. Be sure to head over and buy or stream his latest worship project, Behold Him. Talk about some incredible songs for the church that are well-written, corporate, and I know your people will engage in worship. Again, be sure and also stop by mysongcapture.com to read about how we can serve you. Don't forget to use the promo code TAKE10. Have a great rest of your day wherever you are, and we will see you soon.